think about the profound influence of the Bible on the world, the way that it has shaped our culture, whether you're a follower of Christ or not, it's probably a good idea that you know at least what it says. It's going to be about us taking and reading the Bible. Welcome to the Take and Read podcast. Pastor Chad here, and excited to come back. In the last episode, I mentioned that I was on a trip south of the border, and we have since returned from that trip, but definitely impacted by that. And really still processing some of that. Was excited to be able to go on that trip with Truett, who is actually on the podcast today. How you doing, bud?
Doing good.
So since we just came off of that trip, I'd love for you to maybe process a little bit of that on the podcast here. So first question I have for you, what did you think it was going to be like?
I honestly thought that it was going to be our team going down there, and obviously we were going down there to build a house, so I obviously thought that we were just going to like go down there, build our house for a couple days, and I knew that we were going to stay at the YWAM base there, but I didn't really have that many expectations about the base itself.
Gotcha.
And so when we arrived there, first off, there were other groups there, other mm-hmm. missionary trips doing different types of outreach, staying at the base as well, so it was fun to kind of connect with them, and one was from like LA and one was from Alberta, Canada. Mm-hmm. So cool to interact with those. But the base itself was actually a really nice facility, way nicer than I thought it'd be. And it was really a blessing to stay there.
Yeah, I think I recalled my first experience south of the border on a mission trip in high school.
That's kind of what I had going in my mind.
It was very
too.
Different than your experience. I was sleeping on a concrete floor. There were cockroaches and bugs, and we used wet wipes for a shower. I mean, it was just rough. And I kind of felt like you were cheated. You needed that experience. You needed just to kind of
No,
rough
I'm
it.
Good.
Looking, you know, as you consider the trip, what surprised you the most? Like, what did you kind of, maybe you didn't expect it, but it was a surprise. Like, man, that really changed the way I was thinking about things.
I think that a good surprise for it was the level of structure that we would have. So I didn't know much about a YWAM base. Mm-hmm. Which YWAM stands for Youth with a Mission. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know much about the YWAM base, but what was a pleasant surprise to me was it was very structured in a way that there was like speaking time and small group time and worship time. Like, I just thought we were going to kind of be meeting with our team, like maybe doing a Devo in the night, but it was very surprising to actually, there was like a worship center and like, mm-hmm. full-on worship band, and we did stuff in groups, small groups together, and this I thought the speaker was pretty good. So yeah, that was
so given that that was the surprise, that it had more intentional teaching, times of worship, interaction, and almost Bible study time, if you had to summarize what God taught you through this experience, whether it was a specific teaching, the experience as a whole, if it was building and working with the family that we got to serve, what's the major takeaway for you?
I think that the major takeaway for me this week was, since I am a Christian and I believe what God says, first off, it really just reminded me of what he's done for me, which made me ever more thankful for what he's done for me. And so since he's died for me and saved me, and I'm a Christian and I believe that, I have a certain responsibility to reflect God in everything I do. So whether that's on a baseball or football team, or I'm going to the movies with friends, or at school or at youth group, always keeping God the focus and reflecting him, acting according to what he does. Mm. So I recognize that I have a certain amount of influence, and because I'm a Christian, I am held accountable to the standards that he has put for me. That was a big takeaway for me.
Amen. Amen. Did you picture, like you mentioned baseball, you mentioned football, going to the movies. Like in your mind, did you picture a specific change that you wanted to make when you got home?
Yeah, specifically at school.
Mm. And just for reference, you go to a Christian school, but that doesn't mean everyone there is a Christian.
Yeah.
So speak a little more about that. Like how you see that playing out at school.
I was envisioning it playing out at school is like if they're doing something that's, you know, not reflecting God, not worshiping him, and it's like sinful, it's bad, just like saying, hey guys, I'm not going to do this. Here's why.
Mm.
Here's why. And just trying to be more of a positive influence, not caving into the culture, not, you know, doing the things that they'll do it there. I also thought about possibly starting a Bible study, just something that at least a couple boys in the high school can just kind of remember, or just have a weekly reminder of just something God has for us. So thought like, yeah, something like that might be cool somewhere down
That's
the
awesome.
Road. Yeah.
That's new to me. If you're listening to this podcast, you just found out at the same time I found out. That's exciting stuff. Okay. Well, speaking of Bible study, that's why we came here, to take and read. Last time you were with us, we were at the very beginning of chapter 13 when God told the church to set aside for him Paul and Barnabas. And so since that time, they have gone on an entire missionary journey. They spent a lot of time in Antioch, encouraging the believers there, teaching, discipling. An issue came up that some of the folks had come from outside of Antioch and were trying to kind of disrupt it, the fellowship there, and there came this controversy. And that was, do those Gentile converts, those that are Gentiles, so non-Jewish, that started to trust Christ and follow him, do they need to be circumcised? So do they need to basically become Jewish and follow the old Jewish laws? And so this became very controversial. It says, after no small or little debate, Paul and Barnabas, you know, kind of discussed this and debated this. And so then it was decided they needed to go back to Jerusalem, to the Jerusalem council where the apostles and the elders gathered, and they met and discussed this. Peter stands up and says, hey, our fathers and our ancestors couldn't bear the yoke of the law. We couldn't do it. Why would we then expect these Gentiles to all of a sudden have to fulfill the law? They've received the Holy Spirit just like we did, so we shouldn't have to heap this extra kind of requirement on them. And so it was discussed and debated. Paul and Barnabas shared their experiences and all the signs and wonders that God had done in their midst with the Gentile believers. And so it was decided that they were going to send word. They're not going to make this a requirement of these new believers that are non-Jewish. And so then they had decided, okay, what we will do though is we need to send them a letter. And so what you and I are going to look at today, we're going to look at that letter that was written. And so we find ourselves in Acts chapter 15. And this is after the Jerusalem Council has made their decision. So we pick up in Acts 15, verse 22. And I'm reading out of the ESV. What do you got?
ESV.
Okay. So we'll read 22 through 35. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers, with the following letter. The brothers, both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers, who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you with words, unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instructions, it has seemed good to us, having come to one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. So when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch. Having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. After they had spent some time, they were sent off in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Okay, so we kind of see, you know, if we rebuild the scene, you know, how would you describe kind of who's there and what's happening?
So it looks like a lot of the early church leaders at the time obviously met in Jerusalem to discuss the problem. And so they sent the letter. Judas called Barsabbas along with Paul and Barnabas and Silas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Silas. So those four kind of were sent down to Antioch to teach, preach, and clarify the whole.
Yeah, it seems like because there had been controversy in Antioch, and Paul and Barnabas had been in Antioch, kind of engaged in
did
that.
Did they start the church there?
They did.
Okay.
No, they did not.
No.
The news of the gospel went there, and it was determined by Barnabas that they needed to go back and teach the believers there.
Oh, yeah,
and so he went and got Paul. But you have Paul and Barnabas had clearly been on one side of things, saying, no, they don't need to be circumcised. And so you can see the reason why and the wisdom in the Jerusalem church sending others besides Paul and Barnabas to go and kind of bear testimony to what had been decided and what had been concluded, because Paul and Barnabas had gone up to kind of get clarification. Well, if they had just come back by themselves, it may not have been received well, because it's like, well, you went up and you came back and clearly they sided with you. And so you can kind of see how that mm-hmm. would go. So I think that's why we see this Judas and Silas sent along with them to kind of testify and bear testimony to the truth. What are some other things maybe that you see in this passage that need explaining, if any?
So it's the letter is basically telling them, like, you don't need to follow the Jewish laws to be a Christian. But then it says in verse 28 through 29, for it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols and from blood and from what has been strangled and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. So they were like, hey, you don't need to follow the Jewish law.
Like, you don't need to become Jewish. You don't have these requirements on you, but you do have some requirement.
Yeah, so I was wondering why these, because it says, like, abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols.
Mm-hmm.
Not really sure what that means. And from blood? Just like blood?
Yeah, so you have clearly in that region, there were other religions. And so these other Gentiles that are now following Christ, there could have been this expectation that they now have to switch religions, and so they have to kind of become Jewish, right? That was the expectation. And what the Jerusalem Council said is, no, you don't need to follow Jewish practices. However, you can't just keep living your life how you have been doing it. Yeah. So some very definite kind of idolatrous activities need to stop. And so some of the things that the false religions and the pagans in that region did is they would sacrifice certain meats to idols and to false gods. And so they're saying you need to abstain from eating those types of things. Food that's been sacrificed to a false god, that is not a ritual practice that you should do anymore. That would be wrong. Also, the sacrifice of blood and partaking in blood, that could have been also a religious practice that they needed to do away with. Then it talks about from blood and from what has been strangled. And so the practices of the way that they would kill animals, things like that, These were clearly pagan religious rituals that they now needed to stop. Like, they couldn't keep doing them because that kind of idolatry would be toxic to their new Christian faith. And then from sexual immorality, and that could be on the level also of, because they would sometimes have cult prostitutes and other ways of worshiping through sexual activity. And so they're saying, like, all of these former kind of false religious practices that were absolutely pagan, that has to stop. So these are the requirements. Yeah. You don't have to become Jewish, but you also can't stay the way that you were.
But because of a result of being a Christian and the love you have for Christ.
Yeah.
But okay.
And so, yeah, that's, yeah, we see that there. And then we see that this is something that they had concluded, the leaders in Jerusalem, was also from the Holy Spirit. So it seemed good to them as well as the Holy Spirit not to lay greater burdens than these following requirements were, which were, you have to do away with your old way of life, Your old way of worshiping and finding security and significance, and now you're in Christ, you're a new creation. And then it sounds like Judas and Silas headed back home. They went back to Jerusalem while Paul and Barnabas stayed there. So you kind of get the sense that for Paul and Barnabas, Antioch becomes a pretty significant place, probably felt like home. They probably had a lot of deep friendships there. And so you can see why they probably would have wanted to stay.
Yeah.
In terms of this concept of letting go of the old life, like, while we're not probably in the United States tempted to become Jewish, you know, we're not tempted to go and, okay, I need to become circumcised if I'm a young male. I need to start practicing this kind of ritual on the Sabbath. I need to start cutting my hair this way or doing whatever. What are the things culturally, you know, in the same way that they were being told, this is a requirement that you leave these other practices, you do away with your old way of life and how you worshiped and how you did things. What do you think would be some of the greatest challenges, maybe for people your age or maybe in the United States? What are the practices that if these elders in Jerusalem were to write a letter to us today, to new believers, what do you think they would say?
I think a big one is, so if I wasn't a Christian, but I've grown up a pagan, and then I repent and become a Christian, the old relationships I've had is a big one. Because I know for me, I love spending time with people, and like, those are the people who have the most influence on me, probably, is the people I surround myself with. And so just, it would probably be, don't just ditch the relationships, but just, well, I don't know. Like,
I mean, I think I see where you're going, that for you in particular, if you before Christ had very unhealthy behaviors with a group of friends, like maybe it was heavy drug use or, you know, going and getting drunk or something like that, your temptation would be, hey, now I'm a Christian, but I'm going to keep hanging out with my old buddies.
Yeah.
The temptation to go back to doing the old things would be very strong.
Mm-hmm.
How do you balance that with this new life in Christ and this burden to share Christ with others and to go back to those friends? How do you, how would you balance that?
I mean, to balance, so I'm trying to think, like, if I had this group of friends that wanted to go out and do something.
I can speak to it from experience. That was me.
Yeah.
I did not grow up in the church. I did not grow up walking with Christ. And I had a very early upbringing in middle school and high school that was, I was not following the Lord. And I was hanging out with buddies and drinking and pursuing girls and just doing things that were destructive, but at the time seemed like, well, this is what we do for fun. This is how people my age and my group of friends, this is how they hang. And then I remember when I began my, you know, following Christ and my relationship with Christ began kind of at a crossroads. That first summer, I was going right back into those old friendships, and it was tough. That temptation to be drawn back into those ways of having fun, those relationships. I mean, those were the people I grew up with. Those were my friends. And I didn't have friends outside of that group of friends. I didn't have a bunch of new Christian friends where I had gone for that summer. And so it was a real struggle. So I can relate. I can relate.
Yeah.
What would you think are some things that in general, maybe in the U.S. population, would be those kind of temptations or those old ways that would be tempting to go back into?
It can be a number of things, just any sort of addiction.
Hmm.
Sinful, like, those usually tend to have a big impact on our lives, so putting those away. Just the way we conduct ourselves can be, so if we're in public and we're like...
language.
Language, you know, all types of different, from the clothing we wear to very trying to be... you know, like super popular and stuff.
Well,
like, usually can then be sinful.
And I think too, there's a temptation to go back to the way we used our time, because all of a sudden when you become a follower of Christ and the scriptures tell you that an important thing is to not, to meet together. Don't neglect meeting together and reading the scriptures and studying the Bible together. And so the idea of Sunday morning worship, that becomes a vital lifeline for those who are truly going to follow Christ.
Yeah.
But the temptation in our culture, man, Sunday, that's the day you sleep in, because that's one of your sleep-in days. You got Saturday, you got Sunday, and then you got to go back to work or school. So you give up sleeping in. You give up maybe your... watching the NFL pregame show, because now all of a sudden, this is, you know, life in the church becomes a new way of life, and so going back to the old way, you have to make some sacrifices about how you prioritize time too.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good word. Mm. So looking at this passage, considering what you have in front of you, what becomes a major takeaway from this text?
From this text...
how do you live in light of this?
Just remembering, because even though we walk in Christ now, it can still be hard to not do those or fall into those temptations. So just keeping in mind, like, putting away, just kind of what we've been talking about. Since we're Christian... we're putting away the old habits that we used to do and to maintain those. And another takeaway for me is to help be a light to those who are trying to put that away, to be an encouragement to those who are trying to walk away from their old self. That also impacts me.
Yeah, you talked about not going back to the old ways, and you have in this passage, there's a temptation by some to go back to the old Jewish ways, and then you have this temptation by the Gentiles to go back to their old Gentile ways.
Mm-hmm.
And what the gospel says is there's a new way that's new for everybody. It's not a way that you have come from, but now you have a new identity in Christ and a new way of existing. And I think that that's so powerful. And I think for me, the takeaway is just to remember that following Christ is an entirely new identity, a new way of living. And whatever ways the world is going to try to entice me to either pursue fun or legitimacy or importance or success, like those are old ways. And they will not produce the life that I want or the fulfillment that I seek. Only Christ can do that. Yeah. Well, thanks for being with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I always love having Truett on the podcast. I always love to engage with you. So thanks for being on here, brother.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening and anything that we said either provoked questions or, you know, curiosity, you can always email me at takeandreadpodcast@gmail.com. And if you have a question for Truett or myself, you can certainly email that and I will get those questions either to Truett or myself and we will respond. If you have ideas or thoughts about this conversation or about this passage of scripture, please leave those in the comments. And I would encourage everybody to like, subscribe, share. You know, if there's something here that you think would be encouraging to someone else, please share it. My goal is not to make a name for myself, but I want to get as many people as possible taking and reading God's word because I think it will transform their life. I do believe this to be the true and very inspired word of God that the creator of the universe has communicated to us, and he's communicated through this Bible. And so I want as many people to take and read it and to process it just like we do here. Simply open up, find a passage, ask questions about it, think about it, discuss it, and then wrestle with how do I live in light of this truth? What's the truth to live by? And that's all we do here, and I think that's something that everybody can do. They can take and read the Bible. You don't have to be a professional. You don't have to be seminary trained. Everyone can take and read the Bible. And so thanks again for tuning in. Truett, love you, buddy. Thanks for joining the podcast today.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage everybody out there to go take and read the Word of God. Blessings.